And welcome to Torn in Two for this May 3rd. Can you believe it's May already? Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Let's bring in the co-host, Pastor Melvin Burns II. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, Brother Gregory T. How are you?
Ooh, we got a hot show today. People, Yes. Listen, do me a favor and go to, if you're driving, and you would like to see this show, because you're going to want to see this show. You're going to want to, trust me, you're going to want to see the show. Go to our sites, WVS 103.7 to beat, or M106 Facebook sites. You can catch us on YouTube, the Emoji app. This is seeing worldwide, and it's going to be a great show. Share it on your page as well right now. I just did it, because the issues that are going to be explained today are going to be hard hitting, and I am so excited about it. And speaking of hard hitting, we've got some weather, man. What's that weather looking like?
Well, you know what? Today, low 54, high 70. That morning rain has cleared out. We got a little sunshine coming through. Tomorrow, beautiful day, partly cloudy, but low 49, high of 75. Still a sunny day on Sunday, low 51, high 67. Nice weather continues on Monday and Tuesday, both with highs of 73. Wednesday, low 54, high 70. And then next Thursday will be a 40% chance of rain, low 50, high of 64.
And we may as well let you know right now, we're going to warn you right now, brothers, Mother's Day is next Sunday.
Come on now.
So get yourself ready. Mother's Day is next Sunday. Don't be waiting to buy that stuff.
Now, you know, I got a question. I got a question.
Go ahead.
So if your mother's still alive and you have a wife, do you get your wife a Mother's Day present since she's not your mother? Or do you just get your mother a Mother's Day present?
I tell you what, walk in this house and not buy that 50 cent card.
Just a little advice for people who's wondering the answer to that question.
Yeah, walk in this house without, you know, my wife is not really picky, because we, you know, every day is Mother's Day for all that they do.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be realistic about it. But you know, it's nice to show some appreciation. So anyway, let's get into our show. You got the notes of our guest?
Yes, I do.
Would you, let's go through it and introduce him and why he is making himself a cup of coffee so we can get ready to start the show.
I believe our guest name is John Van Lente.
Yeah, Van Lente.
John is a licensed master of social work. He's been the director of patient psychiatric units, undergraduate educator at Baker Business School. His subject was group dynamics for business. He's also taught graduate class for Grand Valley School of Social Work, Law and Ethics and Social Work Practice. Has a prior lecture series, Dancing in the Dark, Treatment of Dual Diagnosis, Chemical Dependency, and Mental Illness. He's presented in over 36 cities over 5 years. He also has previous publications, a play, Three's Company on Family Systems Using Family of Buster Keaton, our local famous actor here. The title, So This Is a Man. And that book is available on Amazon on the human psychology section.
That's our guest. So we're waiting for him. We're going to talk about slavery today.
Okay.
And it's going to come from somebody that don't look like us.
Okay.
But someone that has studied it for quite a while. And I'm just so excited to get John. I've known John for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an issue that he has studied for quite a long time. He just got back from Guatemala, okay. Actually, and I'm really excited. So listen, get your questions ready, because when he comes in and he sits in that hot chair, we're going to fire right off at those questions. You brought up a very interesting thing about, and I, we need to talk about that real quick, about do you buy the mom a card or the wife a card? What's your thoughts?
Well, mother always gets a card no matter what. I think, again, I was being facetious. Of course, you better, get the wife a card. If you have kids, she's a mother. When the kids are little, you get the card and have them handed to mom. But, you better have something there, too. At least a card. My mom would always say, you can at least find a dollar card somewhere. But a card, some other gift. It's a great day to acknowledge those mothers again for everything they do. So, babe, better take care of wife. Better take care of mom.
All right, he's not in the seat yet. I'm on the scream at a seat.
I'm actually here.
Oh, you're there?
Yeah, I don't know what the camera shows.
Oh, the camera is black.
Oh, okay.
You're there.
Yeah.
I know your picture was there earlier.
Yep, I'm sitting in the seat.
Okay. I tell you what, why don't you reset up on the feed again? Hey, this just happens on, this is live radio and a podcast thing happened. So right. We're going to take you off the screen, reboot, and sign in again. Okay. So, hey, these things happen. But we had his picture earlier.
Yeah. We have some power outages around town, too. I know Seaway Drive, south of Muskegon Heights, and Henry, south of about Summit.
Okay. While we're waiting on John to reboot and reset, give us an update on the water situation in Muskegon Heights.
Oh, well, hey. Drink it. It's good. And thanks for giving the opportunity last week. But things are, as I reported last, I don't know if it came on Friday, all the tests come back negative for harmful bacteria. I believe as of Saturday, around 2 o'clock last Saturday, the boil water advisory was off. You can resume every activity with city water like you did prior to the what happened on the 24th.
All right. All right, listen, we're going to see if John is back there. If not, we'll just have to go with voice. John, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can see you. We can hear you, but we can't see you.
Okay, well, I'm not the best to be seen anyhow, so if we want to get started, let's get started.
Let's get into this. We introduce you. Put your hands together for Mr. John Van Lente, my buddy. The black screen, the picture didn't work earlier, but sorry, it didn't work. Sir, I asked you a question before we got on.
Yes, sir.
I said, if you could title this show, what would you title the show? And you said what?
The Psychology of Slavery.
Okay.
Let's go dive into this.
Okay.
Okay. The Psychology of Slavery.
Yep. Let me give you a premise.
Please.
400 years of an economy that only worked because you could get a free product called a human being. 12 million human beings were taken. 10 million survived and were sold for a profit. And that was what made American capitalism work. The human was an object. And in those days, pardon the stereotyping, but my ancestors, the Dutch, traveled your ancestors over here and made a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this case, I'm a psychotherapist. That makes objects of both the slave and the master. I am somebody because I get to own the plantation and I look important because I got the whole plantation. I'm just an object.
Mm.
And the worker is just an object. So modern day struggles and labor are still a product of modern day slavery. So when I'm dealing with workers at the Chrysler plant in Detroit, owned by Stellantis, a French company, they're doing in Detroit what the French would not let them get away with in France. But here, you can get away with continuing to treat people like they're objects, slaves.
Pastor Burns, first question to you.
That's the basic premise. That's a provocative premise.
Yeah, it is. And John, you know, again, nice to meet you. Let me, and I know you, I'm sure you get this question in your presentations. We're talking slavery for the most part, legally ended 1865.
Allegedly ended.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking 160 years. Yeah. You're telling me that we still see the effects that in this modern economy, United States in 2024?
Yeah, in fact, if you look at a book called Parchment Farms,
okay,
all slavery did was, when I was a slave, I might grab the chicken and eat it. No problem. Mm-hmm. If I was in jail, the master would come and get me out of jail to get me back on the plantation when he needed me chopping cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the minute that there was this alleged end to slavery, I could be arrested for grabbing that same chicken, go into jail, and get rented back out to get put back on the plantation. So the system of renting people back from jails was the continuation of slavery.
Okay.
Now, statistically speaking, not a lot of people who happen to be Black would end up in jail during slavery, because a master would get them out and put them back on the plantation. But after slavery allegedly ended, we created this other system of putting the Black human being in prison and renting them back out to work on the same plantation.
Wow.
And if you look at a book called Parchment Farms, that'll document that.
Okay.
John, how do you explain to people, to get people to understand how 400, what happened 400 years ago, how people are still profiting from that system?
I don't have to go back to that history. In people telling me what's a struggle in their personal life, somewhere in that process, they're going to be talking about what they are rather than who they are.
For instance,
and I want to raise the consciousness that we're here to transform them from a what to a who, the spirit of who you are.
That's birth.
Okay, well, just good stuff. So you talk about that idea of raising the consciousness. How do we do this?
Start with people's hurt and their pain and their anger and their frustration.
Okay.
First, respect what hurts.
Mm.
Respect where it hurts.
What do you say to people that happened 400 years ago and it's over and get over?
Yeah, I know. That kind of rhetoric. I guess what would I say to that? I would say, all right, how well has that worked for you in the past? Has it really helped when people just said, get over it?
Mm.
Okay, thanks. But so, yeah, I hear that rhetoric and I'm saying, you know, no, I will never look at somebody and say, just get over it.
What are some of the other things that you hear out there that are preposterous?
Oh, things will get better. It'll be better. You know, it's always a little worse before. It's always a little rain before, you know, a storm before the sunshine. All this rhetoric, throwing words at people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not empathy. That's not compassion. We have to be willing to step into the misery with people and absorb their pain and their misery.
Mm. Dr. Burns.
John, you talk about the prison system and how we see that mentality of slavery played out. Can you maybe share from some other institutions, education, religion, other institutions where we see that same sort of mindset that's been pervasive throughout our country?
Well, I mean, you know, if we take a look at churches, mm-hmm. they're always looking at counting the heads, mm-hmm. the people, you know, and school systems, it's you've got so many classes to finish and you got to get this minimum number in order to get this credit in order to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. And it's more like, did I sit in the right spot long enough and turn in the minimum work to get through this system, mm-hmm. put a cap on my head and I can march. Mm-hmm. All right. Now I've met the minimum qualifications to fill a spot somewhere. Yeah. And that can be tough. That can be kind of hard. Because what about the kid that's got a few questions? Mm-hmm. Should we ever ask why? You know? How come?
And you have a book out currently, and it's on Amazon. Talk about So This Is Man. Talk about a little bit about that book.
Yeah, I worked on that book when I moved to Guatemala. I was allegedly retiring, and I was going to focus on this book. The key point in So This Is Man is all of our Western psychology comes from what? Sigmund Freud, Eric Fromm, mm-hmm. these people were only around for, you know, within the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. Now we know we can't explain human psychology that way. Mm-hmm. I wanted to take it back to early tribal cultures and evolution. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to take it from a worldview. I wanted to take a look at who we call Native Americans. I wanted to look at tribes here, tribes in Africa, early tribes in Asia, and abstract out some of those concepts and tribal functions to help explain who we are. And so I called it So This Is Man. Hmm. That we as human beings are a little more complicated than what Sigmund Freud explained and than what Eric Fromm explained. Or John Bowlby. I get into all of them because then I work my way through from tribal functions and cultural anthropology into the more modern psychologies like Sigmund Freud, Eric Fromm, John Bowlby, just to mention a few names. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring it forward. And so that's kind of what that book is. So This Is Man is to help people get into the depth. And we know as humans, we come from many different tribal backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from a very Northern European, white and violent background that evolved out of the North, survived, you know, and I ended up having white skin so I could probably be camouflaged in a snowstorm. Like I could hide from a wolf. I don't know.
Hey, John, So you have a book out that goes deeper into the human psychology, you know, this whole thing. But let's break this down. Let's break it down because the fact that you teach and treat people like widgets and you bring them over and have them for 400 years and we're just all of a sudden it's supposed to be over and done. Talk about the mindset. Yeah. What that does to people and the people that you're even treating right now that come in your office because you have patients. Talk about that mindset.
The mindset of I have to be an object. I have to be the right thing, look mm-hmm. like the right thing, mm-hmm. act like the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the famous, help me with a name block here. Who was the female Harriet Tubman. So mm-hmm. Harriet Tubman had a famous quote. I would have freed more slaves had they known they were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what psychotherapy is all about.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. People feel hurt. They feel pain, but they haven't yet connected it to feeling like they're an object and they're being treated like an object.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying in America right now, today, people don't understand or people don't know that they're an object.
They're not conscious of that's where the pain comes from.
John, why is it, you know, help me with why is it so hard? Everybody has some pain in their life somewhere.
Yes.
Why is it so hard for us to empathize with other people?
Well, all right. So if I'm going to empathize with you, Pastor Burns,
mm-hmm.
I have to have a heart of willingness to absorb the pain and not think I'm the object of a therapist who's supposed to give you an answer.
Okay.
So first I have to remove myself from being the psychobabble expert.
Okay.
Who's supposed to somehow give you the answer of how to live.
Yeah.
And we can just hurt together.
So is that kind of what's kind of come people, we come to therapists and say, okay, I need you to give me my six steps, my quick fixes. So I can
go. Right. Right. Yeah. I want to push this button. Boom, boom, boom. And you know what? Insurance companies say the same thing.
Yeah.
They get six sessions.
Yeah. They do that.
We're talking about, you know, people, how people, you know, this is not one of those sexy issues that people don't want to talk or they want to run from.
Yeah.
And in this country, we spend too much time running from issues that may be a little, well, the things, the rhetoric that we hear is that I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you benefit right now because of the economic money that you have in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to Houston, Texas. Michael Anthony Smith said, in other words, listen. Thank you. So Mike Anthony Smith saying that, why is it that is people do not listen intently? I mean, why it does not soak in that something 400 years still applies today?
Well, listening itself, what a great word, because I can't just hear words. Listening means I actually absorb the concept. And one of the first things we teach our student therapists is how to give primary level accurate empathy, how to repeat back to the client enough of what they said so they really know what they were saying was heard. So the reason for that technique that we teach our student therapists is we want you to at least repeat back the last couple few words the person said. And then you can add on what you absorbed as an open question.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear you right? Did I actually get that right? And that begins the dialogue of real attachment. Real attachment. It's a real connection. A real connection.
Texas Michael Anthony Smith said, yes, he agrees with what you're saying.
Well, tell him we're all jumping up in the back of the church saying amen.
Amen. Pass the plate, bro. Pastor Burns.
Yeah. John, let's go back and the things you talk about, the empathizing and listening, and put that in the context of we talk about, you know, the effects of slavery. Contextualize for me how somebody white doesn't understand that 2024, two generations removed, I still feel the effects of slavery. How do you convey that to somebody? Again, as Greg says, well, that was my great-great-grandfather, it's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Yep. If they go out and look at a flock of birds, a bunch of squirrels on the ground, they're going to find that these groups may have some chitter chatter and conflict with one another. If they back that out and say, wait, the human animal did the same thing. I tended to congregate around a lot of other white animals. Okay. So, all right. Part of that is nature. But eventually, by being next to one another, we started getting relaxed. We started seeing our common bonds, our common characteristics, and we started to integrate.
Okay.
And so once we can confess our nervousness about being different, we're one step closer. Well, if we can be honest about our feeling of difference, then we can take a step closer to integrating. Mm-hmm. So we don't want people to deny that they are separate or different. We want them to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
So John, let me ask you this question. In the current world as we speak in this country, mm-hmm. and politics has played a role lately where people, that empathy has just gone out of the window. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, it's like, depends which way, who's showing the camera. Are we in a period of less human empathy? I actually do feel that. Now, it's kind of weird, but coming back from Guatemala and coming back to the United States, I just don't feel that people here are as personal. Mm. They don't feel quite as personal or connected. Now, and I hate to sound stereotypical, but I find that to be more true among white people who I think are further removed from their experience as an extended family or as part of a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was a kid growing up, I lived on one hill with my 9 brothers and sisters. My grandparents were in the middle and 12 cousins were over the next valley. So we still had that feeling of a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
We had that connectivity. When I went to high school, it was the new suburban, white, well-off high school. I did not feel connected to those other students.
Mm.
They were from the new little white suburban families that had a 2.5 kids per family, a 2-stall garage, you know. I was still hitchhiking, jogging, and lucky to ride a bike. So we didn't have a lot in common.
Okay.
So there are those kind of divisions. At one time, like for instance, Holland, Michigan, where my father came from, and my mother for a while, the French Catholic were the servants. Mm-hmm. They were the servants of the Dutch Reform.
Mm-hmm.
So they had their own kind of division in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we say today? We still have humans dividing. And absolutely, you can't have a system for 400 years. You can't have it for 400 years. And when you add what Parchment Farms tell us, we're going until 1951 before, and even today, who are the majority of people who are in prison? What race or color are the majority of human beings in prison?
Wow.
And can they be rented out for work?
Yes, they can.
Yes, okay. They can.
Well, prison is a profit-making business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does it really take, I've worked with people who are in prison, and almost all of them tell me, well, probably I had pretty much corrected everything that got me there within 3 to 4 years.
Mm.
And how long were you there? 10 to 15.
Mm.
Now we got a whole nother problem. How to adjust, quote, in the free world.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're watching and listening to Torn to Two at the bottom of the hour.
Yep.
You're going to get ready for a break. John, check and see if you accidentally turned off your camera. This is Torn in Two. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a second.
Okay, I'm going to turn off and then try to come back in.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go to commercial break. And welcome back to Torrin and Two. And I think we got him. There he is. All right. There he is.
Okay. That is a miracle.
Yeah, we just needed to get you back. Okay, so let's get back in the conversation. So for 400 years, you and I were talking about this other, you know, people continue to be treated like widgets. We talked about, you and I talked about a lot of things. right. But let's go to how people don't understand. Let's go in that first, us first, mm-hmm. that the identity crisis of us truly not knowing who we are because of where we were taken from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, I shared with you earlier, I know the story of the Van Lente. I know we came from a village called Lente. And Van means that's where they come from. Van Lente. So I know that story. And it's kind of sad when people go, well, all I know is somehow I got picked up off the Gold Coast of Africa and put on a ship for some reason. And here's part of the reason. All sailors know they have to follow the Gulf Stream. They have to follow the streams and the currents. Even if they're sailing in the ocean is a package of currents. And I'm a sailor, so I'm sorry about this talk. So the current goes up from North America over toward Europe and then down to the north coast of Africa. And here was a problem. Those sailors didn't have anything profitable to pick up in Africa and sell in this new country. Well, they found something. They found a human being that could pick up for nothing and sell to plantations and make a profit. So it wasn't just the slave labor that made a profit. It was the object of the slave themselves that was the profit object. Mm-hmm. Now, this then turned into a 400-year economy that made the economy of this new world profitable. And so now if we want to talk history, my ancestors, the Dutch sailors, because we're good sailors, made a profit off your ancestors by picking you up on a ship. And we're not talking about a small number. 12 million human beings were taken. 10 million made it, and we know about 2 million jumped overboard and said, I'd rather be dead than be a slave. And here's one of the reasons. The only reason for you to bring all of us over there is wherever we're going, they have to be cannibals. A lot of slaves thought we're being taken to be eaten. We're not going to grow something for other people to eat. We're going to be eaten. So I'm sorry. I don't want to be eaten. I'd rather jump overboard and try to swim. The minute I saw the Caribbean, the minute I saw those islands.
Or people were thrown over because they didn't have enough rations, and we won't even go there.
Yeah, but right.
I want to talk about us for a second. You know, we have an example of our president going back and finding out his history and his roots, and found out that he's royalty.
He's
how right. Important is that we don't sit back and rely on the education of the people that have the money, that we get educated in who we are, and going back to find out who we are, where we came from. How important is that?
Well, it is pretty important. We used to have a joke, you know, like in the civil rights movement, we'd be on the picket line. And one of the guys on the picket line would look at me and say, look, I can feed all the pure race people a pound of hamburger. So I've told you my ancestors sailed your ancestors over here. So that means we know that my ancestors might not have wanted intermarriage. They didn't have any problem with intercourse.
So, right. So
we know there's no pure nothing in this country. We're all integrated. We all have DNA.
That's right.
We know that the modern human being has about 2% of Cro-Magnon DNA. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we know that last group migrating out of Africa actually interacted and had interrelationship with Cro-Magnon man. Mm-hmm. Because their DNA is still in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the same thing. We humans might sometimes have been against intermarriage, but we were never against intercourse. So,
wow.
Wow.
That's right.
John, you know, 60s, 70s, we were willing to have these discussions. What now, you know, you have them in, you're anti-American, you're anti-patriotic, progress. What happened to us that we don't even want to have these discussions anymore?
It's kind of a temporary thing. I hate to say I'm so old, I'm planning to go free diving with my grandson and his wife. So it's kind of like, you know, the expression, what goes around comes around.
Uh-huh.
I have watched these kind of swings come and go. And right now we're in one of those swings where people are saying those kind of things. When we say what is American or un-American, I'm kind of going, what made you think there ever was such a thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're speaking English here, but you know, English was the third language that came on this continent.
Mm-hmm.
French and Spanish were here before.
Yes.
And of course, my family, you know, the French part of my family came through Newfoundland and Canada. And most of those were men. The French came over as mostly men, and they integrated with the Mi'kmaq Indian tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in that background, that integration occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about who we are as humans, we need to stop thinking we're so exclusive.
John, okay, so let's flip the switch here. And we were talking about the things that you hear, the things that I hear, and Pastor Burns about, you know, that happened back then. But them not, people not understanding that look like you, understanding that even today, they're profiting about what happened 400 years ago.
Yeah, I think I want to connect them to how they are an object now.
Come on.
To somebody, whether they feel like they're an object on their job, mm-hmm. or they're an object when they go to see the doctor, somebody's making a profit off them as an object. That's, as a psychotherapist, that's where their pain's coming from. Some of them might be able to make a connection to the psychology of slavery. That's kind of what my next book that I want to work on is all about, helping to connect people to when you feel like you're being treated now as an object. I want you to link that all the way. I want you to find the connection back to 400 years that I was a really good white object because I owned a whole bunch of you.
Mm-hmm.
I owned a bunch of black objects running around here, and they were acting like they loved me because that's the way they had to get by on the plantation.
Mm.
And I could be a good little white guy by being nice to the darkie.
You know, now you say that, and you know, we sort of, you know, among black people, we'll kind of joke if somebody comes against the hospital and they, you know, and they have a bad experience or, you know, some other institution, then we kind of joke and say, well, they're being treated like they're black. Now they kind of, you know, that's what it, you know, when you say that's what it kind of makes me think of, that once they have that experience, they kind of, then we go, okay, that's one day, you should try this for a lifetime, and you'll kind of see what you deal with.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you can have that as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
White people need to hear that to raise their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because they may not be aware that just because you're white doesn't mean you're not an object.
That's good.
Now, I had kind of a panic and anxiety attack, and my friend took me over to right here in town, Mercy Hospital. $6,000 later, after they ran every test they could run, they still did not give me a 45-cent anxiolytic pill that would have calmed down my panic attack. I could have been out of there in 30 minutes. And after a couple hours, I said to them, I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, this is, you're going to be leaving AMA. All right. Now, I got a bill for $6,000 for no treatment.
Mm-hmm.
None. So now, at what point would we say, well, sir, don't you get it? You're living in a country that was founded on the economy of slavery. Did you think that you went to that hospital as a human being or as an object?
Wow.
And that's what we have to wake people up.
Mm.
Who needs to be woken up? We all need to be woken up.
We all need to be woke up, but then they come up with, you know, terms like you being woke and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, what's going to take, you know, to shake up this country to realize, you say embrace each other, but that's not happening. Matter of fact, because of the political climate and everything else, we're getting more divided. People are saying, just coming out of this stuff and saying random things that with in a copy and paste generation without people even thinking. I mean, John, I want to get into the deep and you explain to people what needs to happen to really move forward.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say to all of my white male brothers is take a deep breath. You now are able to look around and count. I'm glad you can count. And you can see that you are the new minority. White males are not going to dominate the economy, the politics, or anything anymore. And it's scaring you. Don't be afraid of your own fear.
Don't, now, please say what you just said again, because they're doing everything to stay in the majority, but not anymore.
It's first, you're getting a few people now who are showing publicly and trying to exploit the fear of a white male minority. It's the white male, less educated group that is all behind a guy named DT. And I hope it's okay. Is it okay to say his name?
Oh, yeah. Speak the truth.
Okay. So we got a very wealthy white man who's made a profit off other people being an object. And what is the symbolism of white minority, male, that's the hope for the white male minority? A wealthy white guy that never actually had to work, didn't have to sweat, and got handed everything? So you're saying, well, wow, we really want to support a guy named Donald who actually had inherited white wealth, making objects out of the rest of us.
All right, best birds.
That's all I got.
That might take us into the second hour if we go down there.
We might have to ask for another hour on that one.
About this a lot over the last four, six, however long it's been in the news recently, but is part of that mentality of they don't see themselves, because I know they think they can be him one day, although they can't.
Right.
But is that them not seeing themselves? Is that what that is?
Well, no, partly. I like what you just said, because it's like they still have part of that mentality that success is quantitative.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a rich white person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, I want to drive this car. I want to have that expensive house. And liberation means you don't need an expensive house. That's going to tie you down. You need to have experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And experiences are interpersonal. I want you to get back to John Bowlby's ideas of attachment. And I don't want you to get blocked from having very valuable, enjoyable attachments.
Okay. So I feel like I'm in your classroom because it's connecting. So when you go back, you talk about being in Guatemala, or even other countries know that,
yep,
where we have some of the objects that we pursue here.
Yeah.
Where things like family and connection, yep, and community are more important. Some people look at it and go, oh, they're happy being poor, they're happy not having less. But what it is they're happy being connected to other people.
Yes.
I feel like I just wrote my essay now. I feel good.
I love it. They have attachment. I had one time I was at my house in Guatemala. Knock, knock, knock on the door. I went up, opened the gate. There were two little girls there about 8 years old that I knew from the community. And they said, our mothers told us to come over and talk to you. I said, oh, what'd they say? We know that Mama Jolie, my wife, Mama Jolie is sick and she might not live. And our moms told us to come over to tell you we will take care of you. So here were two girls that knew that I would be a single male with no family. And they were already saying, we will take care of you. We just want you to know that. Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's the feeling of village. That's where there's attachment.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we've... Now, again, I don't want to offend too many white people, but I feel that difference. I'm living in a neighborhood where I'm the current token. I'm the token white guy. Mm-hmm. But I feel more of a community in this neighborhood that was commonly called a ghetto in the past, mm-hmm, than I ever did when I was living way out in, the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's, we know people who have suffered oppression also have to cling together,
mm-hmm,
to function. So they've had something called attachment they had to have. Now, the people that could afford it went out to went further away and further away, and they lost one another. And that's part of the mental health struggle for a whole lot of white clients.
Let's talk about that mental health struggle. First, let's talk about your white clients, the things that are tied, but they don't know what is tied to.
Right.
And you have to bring that. So let's talk about some of those things.
So, we have the biopsychosocial model. So we always have to take a look at anything biological because that's organic. So we will take a look at any kind of medical condition, physical condition, including the neurochemistry that might be out of control. Like major depressive disorder is a neurochemistry. Schizophrenia is a neurochemistry. Bipolar disorder is a subacute seizure. So all of that is still neurochemistry. So we want to address that when it exists. Then underneath that, we want to deal with the situation that's going on. What are the current situations that are happening in life? Financial stress is a primary situation in this country, especially.
Mm-hmm.
What does psychotherapy do? In psychotherapy, I want to help people use how they think, how a person thinks, how they perceive. So we're actually helping to work on the thinking apparatus itself.
Mm-hmm.
How to hear, how to listen, how to question. So I prefer to have families come together. I prefer to have family therapy, group therapy, than I do even individual therapy. Because then it's not like they're trying to learn how to think with me. I'm actually watching them work with people that they care about. Mm-hmm. And so I like that. I like working in the context of the community.
That's first.
Yeah.
John, tell us again your book.
The book that it took me 4 or 5 years to write, we just finished uploading. It is called So This Is Man. And it would be kind of what I would use if I taught a course in introduction to psychology. So if I was teaching that course, I would use my book as a textbook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it goes a little deeper into how humans evolved in tribal systems.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes a lot deeper than Sigmund Freud and Eric Fromm and those people. But I do get into those people eventually because I want to cover every one of those theories. Right. And that's what I would do. That's why it would become a good book for an introduction to psychology class.
So let's talk about the mental health issues that we struggle, because, man, the show is almost over. But we struggle because of what happened 400 years.
So that, I mean, if we want to do diagnostics, we would still call that an adjustment disorder because it's a reaction to an environmental condition. I wouldn't call that a biological depression because that is strictly neurochemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So once we know that this is not just a biological depression, which could be the failure of the reuptake absorption of serotonin could pull back in too much serotonin or norepinephrine. And so the person suffers depression because they're not getting the energy or the calming that they need.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, I'm still walking around not getting the things I think I should get because I'm a white male. That's situational.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting the respect I should be getting. I'm not getting the job I should be getting. I'm not getting, I'm having conflicts in my marriage. Those are situations. So we have to differentiate that. Now, when it comes to neurochemical, if I have the neurochemistry of norepinephrine or serotonin problem, I can still treat that environmentally. I can still go out running, biking, swimming. I can do something fun,
mm-hmm.
and that will help improve the functioning. Or I could take the medication that helps to give me the supply that I need of serotonin and norepinephrine to fight that depression. Now, if we go to psychosis or bipolar, we're having, it's a whole nother system neurochemically with the ion absorption system. Mm-hmm. And the anticonvulsant medicines regulate those because those are really like little seizures. And we just want to calm that down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the anticonvulsant medicines are primarily used for bipolar disorder. And then what are called atypical antipsychotics are used often for psychosis or schizophrenia. Now, all of those things have side effects and nobody's pure. So it could be a mix. An MD physician or DO physician and a psychiatrist specializes in neurochemistry. I used to have several in town I used to work with, but they're no longer around because I'm old and they went and died on me.
But John, let's go back to a point that you said. Okay. If everybody would just take a deep breath, okay, just take that deep breath and realize that.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a guy actually say this to me. It's like, what do you people want? Is it that you want us to become slaves? What are you looking at us when you say Black Lives Matter or whatever. I mean, I've heard everything, and I'm sure you've heard more. But I've seriously heard that. What do you guys want from us?
I love it. So when you use a phrase like, what do you want collectively? You've already ignored the fact that we're all individual human beings just like you.
Say it again.
That's good.
Anytime you use a phrase, what do you want collectively? You're already lumping us together. You're already stereotyping. That's the first step in racism. You have the inability to discriminate individually, so you lump everybody together collectively.
Oh, man, that's good.
So what's cognitive behavioral therapy? I want to help you to use your brain to discriminate on the character of people and the personality of people. And you don't have to lump them all together, like all of us bald people.
Yeah, all of us bald.
We're all in the same group.
All in the same group. Look, John, we're going to have you come back on because, man, this is not something that you can handle in 1 hour conversational-wise. I want to thank you so much for coming, and we want to have you back, okay?
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you.
Where can we find that book again?
Nice to meet you as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. So This Is Man, and my daughter tells me it's on Amazon now, so it's there, and she was going to work on the paperback version, but you know these kids, they're smarter than we are, so I'll let her do that. Now, but do you refer to yourself as Pastor Burns?
Melvin is fine here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. Take care and have a great weekend.
Thank you. God bless. Right.
Thank you.
That was John Van Linton.
Man.
That's so much in 1 hour.
Every so often we had them shows, man. It's just like, I'm grateful just to be sitting here in the conversation.
Yeah, and we gotta bring them back. We gotta talk. And for the people out there that are listening and watching and stuff like that, and just going like, you know, you guys are never gonna get over this. You know what? Just take the time, like you said, take a deep breath and listen.
Man, if you listen to that last hour, you won't even make comments like that. You'd be embarrassed to make comments like that. Wow,
good stuff. Hey, listen, brother, take care. Listen, this is the end of 22 for this May. We're in May.
Yeah.
Take the opportunity to stop saying stupid stuff. Stop. Hey, listen, before you type something and copy and paste somebody's opinion, read it first, because you're making yourself sound crazy. Go out and do something for us. Do something, and instead of having that black friend or that white friend, how about becoming and getting the chance to know somebody and becoming true friends, and let's do something about this problem. This is 22. Go out and sow a seed in somebody's life, and you don't know who you change. Take care. God bless. We see you next week.
God bless.